Hello and welcome to Marooned at Magabyte's headquarters, day 59. How is everybody? It's been a strange day, I'll say that much. Half the UK is back to normal. It's scary. Hello, Jonathan. I think we got a lot more today than we anticipated, didn't we? Hello, Kim. More places have opened up. You can do more things. And Mike and I are like, whoa, not doing that. Like, go and visit houses of other people if you are intending to purchase them. Like, really? Estate agencies are open again. You should hear the rules. It's been fabulous. You should do a virtual viewing first. Who knew there were such things? And then if you are intending to purchase, then you can do a visit, but the house owners must stand in the garden. The surfaces must be washed down before you visit and when you leave. You must wash your hands when you arrive and when you leave. Is it worth it? Can you not just wait another month? Can't understand it myself, but that's just me. Photos from Deansgate. Not seen photos from Deansgate. Let me have a look for them. I've seen the ones from London. It's just scary. What would I search for to find the right ones? Let's have a look. Tools anytime. Last 24 hours. See if I can find them. Is this from Manchester Police? Tell me, Jonathan. I need to know. Probably on the Evening News site, isn't it? That would be a good place to start. I can't understand people's panic to get out there. Is it just me? Is everybody else dashing out and I'm not? Right, I've got the Evening News site. Let me have a look. Oh, and the first thing I spot is a huge banner that says the mayor, that's the mayor of Manchester, reveals higher COVID-19 transmission rates in the north. Typical. Oh, and there's a lockdown protest due to take place in Manchester as well. Who knew about that? Jonathan, you've not told me about that. Would I go on a lockdown protest? No, just me. CQ Deb, I'm so glad you are still alive and kicking. How are you doing? Let us know. How are you doing? So Jonathan's had a very busy day. Was this your presentation today, Jonathan? I must read this thing about this lockdown protest. Really? Is it a... Anti-lockdown protest scheduled to take place in Manchester are described as an insult to NHS workers. Who... in the right minds would do this here. Oh, it's been a number of mass gatherings advertised as taking place at various locations across the UK this weekend. One such event has been organised to take place in South Manchester, that's close to you, Jonathan, and me, and another in Trafford, which is where I am. OK, batten down the hatches. Ooh, presentation is at 8 o'clock tonight. Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Jonathan. Better. Tested yesterday, a couple of days before I hear the results. Fingers crossed for you. Seriously, seriously, fingers crossed for you. But so glad you're feeling better. Deb's feeling better.
Oh, awesome.
We have good news.
Awesome.
In worse news, Mike, had you heard about this? Because I wouldn't have gone looking, but for Jonathan mentioning something else. There are anti-lockdown protests planned for the weekend, one in South Manchester and one in Trafford.
No.
A mass meet-up is planned. The only problem I've got now is where they are, because that's where we need to avoid.
And where are they?
Well, it just says Trafford. It doesn't give you any more details. If you think about it, you know, the papers aren't going to advertise where it is, but that's silly, because then you can't avoid it.
Talking of Trafford, can I tell my story?
About Trafford. Feel free.
Well, if you were with us last night, unless you've talked about the bins.
I haven't mentioned the bins.
Right. If you were with us last night, you'll know that our bin didn't get emptied yesterday.
All they'll hear is the rustling of you and your kit at the minute.
Right, I'll talk into the microphone.
And get it off the desk.
The microphone's not on the desk.
I meant the rubbish.
Oh, right. As you'll know from if you were with us yesterday, our bin didn't get emptied and I contacted the council. Anyway.
Indignant from sale you were, weren't you?
But even though I told them that the whole of our street and sort of within a mile radius hadn't been emptied, they said, well, we can only record your complaint. Everyone else will have to ring up themselves. So this morning at 10 to 9, they turned up and they emptied our bin, but they also emptied everyone else's bin, and that's fine. But I've just checked my email and I've had an email from Trafford Council, One Trafford, whatever they're called. And it says, dear Mr. Thomas, the resolution to this, your complaint or whatever it was, is taking a little longer than we anticipated.
If the right knew what the left were doing.
Excuse me, but you dealt with it at 9 o'clock this morning.
Oh, I'm loving Trafford Council. So basically these protests are bring a picnic, some music, and we're going to have some fun and say yes to life. Or
that
indeed
sounds like a marooned.
Or indeed yes to death. I mean, really. There was another 400 died today. There was another 3,700 diagnosed yesterday. And they think having a picnic's the answer to it. Clear enough. So the poster for the Manchester event reads UK Mass Gathering Manchester. And it's organised by the Anti-Vaxxing Brigade. Words fail me. Yes, again, words fail me. Is this happening anywhere else or is this just us? So, all the gang's in, isn't it? Hello, Paul. Hello, Anthony. And hello, Simon. I need to know, wherever you are, do you have one of these mass gatherings planned? They are in London, Nottingham, Swansea, Cardiff, Sheffield, Edinburgh, Plymouth and Southampton. I noticed these things have happened once it's deemed safer. They weren't saying this a month ago, were they?
No.
No, funny that. Mm. Anti-vax should be up there with Al-Qaeda and illegal. They were talking about making it illegal to send your child to school if they'd not been vaccinated. I don't know how far they got with that. I mean, there are no words for stupidity like this. I mean, obviously we know from Rachel what's happening on the front line and we've all heard it from Pete. And if Pete wasn't working so hard, Pete would probably be with us. Why would you go out and just deliberately cause trouble?
I don't know.
Because the R rate's going to have to go up. Mind you, you know, like I said, I put on Facebook a link to something and I said, forget it, Boris, you can enjoy the second wave without me. And it looks like that's what's going to happen. So there you go. That's what's happening here.
Shall I let sleeping dogs lie?
She's mooched. She's there. I'm going to need another camera in the kitchen. She's taken to being in the kitchen.
Shall I leave her be?
Well, she was drinking a heck of a lot about 45 minutes ago.
I'll take her out.
But in the kitchen, on the Echo, I've got some music playing.
Right.
So when I turned it on, it was so funny because she jumped up and she's looking around like, what's that and where's it coming from? But now she's settled. Now, I'm sure if you take her out to Whittle, she'll settle again. So there you go. Mike, you need to know this. The WhatsApp message, there's a link wrong in the meeting you're about to try and get into. Just saying you're going to need that information. Poor Mike. Oh, Simon's got a question for you. He says, AMA, because it's an Ask Me Anything tonight. Have you finished the Monster Toblerone?
I've started the Monster Toblerone.
The Monster Toblerone is...
It's reserves.
It's reserves in case we run out of food. It's in date until next year at some point. And it's going to need a chisel to get into it, seriously. So there will be video of when we do get into the Toblerone. But as of yet, the Toblerone lives to fight another day. Jonathan potentially has Toblerone here. He said, speaking of Toblerone, ... Guess what I ordered and came with the shopping? Was it Toblerone, Jonathan? Which one? There only used to be one, like a milk chocolate one. But now there's fruit and nut and there's white chocolate. You name it. Anything goes. That's exactly what I was thinking, Kim, backing up the chat. Be careful while walking, Lola. We could do with knowing where these imbeciles are. But if it's a picnic, it's going to be in a park. If it was a Trafford Park, I don't think it'd be Pinky Park because it's too tiny. I reckon it would be Stanley Park on the other side of town. Or Worthy Park.
Yeah.
But it says in Trafford, could it be Longford Park? That's a big one. And it's plenty of miles away from us. So yeah, if they want to have a meet-up, I suggest there. It was the standard one, 200 grams. Excellent, Jonathan. I think... let me bin dip. Mike's just finished one. Here we go, here's the packet. The one he had was 360. But pro tip, Jonathan, after all this calamity's over... because I don't know how much that 200 grams was, but a 100 grams from B&M is a pound, which I think is normally about £1.70. So it's a good deal there. How would I know that? It was the cost of one Mac Pro wheel. Yes, the Mac Pro. Has anybody actually seen one yet? I haven't. Obviously, Apple stores are shut, so not being able to go and see them yet. So the regular retail stores are open for business. You've got to order online and then bring it to your car outside. Don't think we're doing that with the extra stores that have opened. What they're saying is you can queue outside with a 2 metre gap and then they let five people in. But what's chaotic today is Boris's speech was confusing, not from the perspective of what he said, which was if you can work from home, work from home. If you can't work from home and the company is open for work for business, go into work. It was the bit after that, which was don't use public transport, but it'll be running because you cannot successfully socially distance on public transport. There isn't enough public transport. So that was the bit that was confusing. And I must admit, I sat here in a little bit of a bubble and I thought to myself, not anybody will be going to work anyway, because that was already the rule. Like Jonathan said, this morning, London, chaos. Thousands and thousands of people piling onto the underground system. And the buses, the R8 will be tripled by next week. The thing is, there will be this gap, won't there? There'll be like the lead time before it passes through and people feel ill or they get diagnosed with it, they're tested. And by then, it'll have shot up again. I cannot understand it. But sometimes I feel it's just me and I'm clearly missing something. And the other thing that's caused great confusion in the UK is you can go out as much as you want and meet as many people as you want in the park as long as you're socially distanced by 2 metres. OK, fair enough. But you cannot meet more than one family member, even in a park, even if you are socially distancing. I can't understand that. Can't you just... Well, what if five members of your family all turned up at the same park at the same time? You're supposed to ignore each other or what? Can't you just pretend then they're not family? I don't understand it. But we're assured by that stupid woman with the stats that it's complicated. Sounds like a Facebook relationship status. It's complicated. Yes. Right. Let's have a look on here. So Deb saying they were all the way to the testing place, hundreds of people, no masks. I can't understand that. Entrance to all the parks will only be for those who can prove the vaccinations are up to date. Crying out loud. Jonathan, you did not sit and watch a 10-minute unboxing of the wheels. Oh, Simon. I totally agree, Simon. It does. We did a whole piece on that on the Mac Pro wheels. I mean, the price was ridiculous. If you buy them initially, then you only have wheels on it and you don't have the legs. And it costs $400. But if you add the wheels later, they're $700 for four wheels. Yeah, we couldn't get over it either. Yep. Somebody did make a 10-minute video of wheel unboxings. Now, while video's mentioned, let's get on to the AMA. What video? 5 million views. Mind you, the thing is, when you have no intention of buying it, you'll go and you'll watch and think, you know, what's all the fuss with this? Oh, a Mac Pro wheel skateboard video. Oh, we definitely need to see that one, don't we? Crying out loud, the things that people do. You see, Jonathan, he's actually asking for the link there. So he is going to watch that one as well. You just know it. What are you lot like? I've had a request for a video and I want to know if you would be interested in said video while I ponder whether it's something I'm going to do. So, who wants to know what that video is? It could be potentially a little niche, but every time I demo a little bit of it, Jonathan gets very excited. Who wants to know what that video is? £175 a wheel. Exactly. Quick calculation there. The Chinese sell various organisations in the US 100 million in face masks that were counterfeit and an ER doc died. We had some, I don't know if you've heard about this, Kim, but there was a big fuss about 3 weeks ago that in the UK we didn't have enough PPE. And there was a consignment coming in from Turkey. And it didn't take off. So the government was saying, oh, we've got a whole consignment coming in from Turkey with, I think it was something like 250,000 pieces. And it will be with us tomorrow. So this was on a Saturday. You all right with your thing? Have you got a problem?
No, I'm fine. Do I set Camtasia for the audio on Zoom?
Yes. Yes, you do. I will remotely log in and make sure that you're doing it correctly.
It's fine.
No, it's fine. That's not a problem. What machine are you on? You are on Faith. That got renamed after it came back. Right, let's get him up and then I'll carry on. So this consignment never shipped. They were fussing about it and eventually it did. They sent the army over and they escorted this consignment back. And that was the last we heard of it. Hang on. Just one sec. You'll hear this, but I'll cover the microphone up because I'm about to shout. Mike! That's right! Okay, that's him sorted. He's logging in next door to his meeting. Ah, right. So this thing arrived, the consignment. And that we didn't hear any more about it. And then about 5 days ago, we heard it had been, it didn't go straight out to the hospitals and the care homes. They did some tests on it and it failed the tests. And we didn't hear any more about it after that. So I have no idea what happened to it after that. But that's not good. We didn't just deploy it. They did do the testing on it and they said that it didn't pass the tests and that would be the end of that. But the company who sent it have been all over the press and they're saying they've not heard anything about it. So it's all very strange. It's all very strange and very odd. I'm copying that link now from Simon. And would that it were copying links properly. That guy's got some serious black gloves on the wheel unboxing thing. Yeah, now they'd look good, wouldn't they? And they're only £400, and that's for a set of four. Positively cheap, Simon. The PPE's up there with Chris Grayling's fairies. Tell me about it. I love the way I noticed this on the BBC News. They were prattling away and they were talking to this so-called expert, massive air quotes going on, expert. I'm not quite sure what he was proclaiming to be an expert in. Giving his opinion on the fact that the children should go back to school and there's absolutely no problem with that at all. And that some people are saying they're super spreaders. And he was saying, no, don't be ridiculous. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. From the safety of his own home via a video conference. So I wasn't really taking much notice of what he had to say. They go from bad to worse. They really do. Right. So Jonathan says yes. OK. I have been contacted by somebody and it's a video that's on my list to do anyway. But this person is particularly interested in working with colour in Affinity Publisher. Now, I have done two sessions on working with colour. It's something you think I could cover in 5 minutes with time to spare, but apparently not. There is so much to it. I think these videos were about an hour 30, something like that. So it would be a separate session. It wouldn't be within an after hours. But to get bumped up the list, I need to know who's interested in it, or at least how many people are interested in it. So if you are interested in working with Colouring Affinity Publisher, let me know. Oh, I can see Mike's screen now and all these little people. Basically, there's the guy running the thing who's in the kitchen. But the comical thing is he's got a chimney coming out of his head. Not even joking. Let me take a screenshot. There we go. I'll get it up there. Yeah, you'll be able to have a look. Come on. Now he's taking his clothes off. Don't panic. It's only a shirt. Where did that go? Ah, oh, there it is. Right. It's over there. I'm going to crop that image and I'm going to get it sent to you. Right, where are we? Let's duplicate it and edit it and send it. Right. That guy in the picture who's in the kitchen with the chimney coming out of his head is the lovely Nina's husband, Rachel's other father. I know it's complicated, but Rachel's other daddy. Right, let's crop that down or it'll take far too much space. Right, let's do that and get it uploaded. Did I add that as a share option, I wonder? Oh, I did. I wonder if it works. Whoa, it even works. Amazing. I love it when I do something like 12 months ago that I now need and it just works. Right, is that there? It is. There's Mike with his Brooklands background. And there's Mike, the other Mike, with the chimney. It's an extractor hood, I'm reliably informed. Let me get it in the chat for you. Right, there you go. Okay, let's get back to the chat. 65 companies selling counterfeit PPE. Do you know, that reminds me of the pub chain. Is it Wetherspoons? Trying desperately to open up again. This was after he sacked all the staff. And I thought I'd never go in there to eat or drink. If I died of starvation, I would not go in there. And yet I've got people on a list that I'm on who are like, oh, I can't wait to get back into the spoons. Might be safer for children to go back to school, but the older staff are suddenly exposed to the entire extended network of every child in every one of their classes. Exactly, one. Exactly. And it's even more complicated than that, isn't it? They're talking about only having 15 in a class. That's fine. I'm governor of a school where we have a single form intake. So there's 6 classes. We haven't got the room. Where are we supposed to put them? Unless they do half mornings, half afternoons. And that's only protecting the children. But then if a child comes in the morning and then infects the teacher and then the teacher infects one in the afternoon, what's the point anyway? Just me. What do I mean by working with colour? I mean, when you're in Affinity Publisher and Designer and Photo, you have palettes that you can import and export. You have swatches you can import and export. You can have different types of palettes. There's a lot to colour. There's a lot to it. But you could, you know, if you're working in a very basic way, just get away by just keep clicking and selecting and clicking and selecting. But if you wanted to know all about colour, then you would need this session. So I need to know if this session is of interest to people. Right. I've got the Mac Pro wheels now being put on a skateboard, which I will watch later. I love the way they're packaged. They actually look like either candle holders or recessed kitchen lights. But still, not worth that to me. So what do you reckon of Mike's chimney? You'd have to move that, wouldn't you? You would have to move it. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. All right, let me get back to where I was. All right. So who brought some questions for the Ask Me Anything? Hardware, software, applications, workflows, anything. I had a little look today at something I haven't looked at in a while in Notion. So I was having a look at that. You'd enjoy learning more about it. Excellent, excellent. I thought it was a bit of a niche topic, and I thought, oh, it'd be a short video. This was about 2 years ago. So I started preparing it for Finity Designer, as a short 15, 20-minute video, if that, on YouTube. And the more I delved into it, the more complicated it got, the more features that were in there. It was amazing. You could also do with knowing about things like symbols to get the absolute best out of it. So in the end, I decided, as it got longer and longer and longer, that instead of doing it as just a video, I'd do it as a live, and that way people could ask questions. So I did it as a live, and I was aiming at this stage for about an hour, probably about an hour five, an hour 10, something like that. And it ended up, I'm sure it was about an hour and a half. But the thing was, I'd scheduled two on one night. I'd scheduled to do the designer one first, I think, and then photo afterwards. Let's have a look. Let's go to YouTube and have a look. Working with colour. In Affinity Photo. Yeah, my two come up top. Right, the photo one. Let's have a look. Oh, there it is. The photo one was 1 hour 26 and the designer one was 1 hour 27. And I wouldn't imagine it was going to be any shorter this time. So if I did that, I'd probably schedule it for about 8 to 8.30 on a Thursday night. Obviously, it won't be tomorrow. And I'm not sure about next week. Got weirdness happening next week. What on earth is Mike doing? I can't leave him for 5 minutes. What's up with Word? He's got Word on the screen. You can't see the thing. Just extend the dialog box down to see files. Right. Let's send him that and see if he's got his phone with him. I'll be able to tell because I can see his little face. I think he's just seen it ping. I think he's picking it up. Ah, fabulous. Okay. Will you show about gradients where you can have multiple colours? I certainly will. Gradients is something that I cover. So absolutely I will. Yeah, that looks fine now. Looks like it's working. Looks like it's working, honestly. Is that what he wants? What is he doing? I wish I knew what he was doing next door. I really do. Gradients isn't difficult, but obviously it's part of the colour system. So to have the multiple points on a gradient, which is fairly simple, you need to know what colour those gradients need to be, what points they need to be. And that's where bringing in swatches and importing and exporting colour palettes works really well. So I think I did that last time, but I will put it on a post-it note. I have post-it notes, so I will add that to it. I'll be prepping that over the next week or so. So I will put that in. That's bang in the middle of everybody else's working day, though, isn't it, at that time? Apart from the ones in the UK, then it's not. So don't forget your questions for the Ask Me Anything. Go on, ask me anything. Right. They've got a condition called Kawasaki disease. Oh, is that the thing, Anthony, that they were talking about in children that was incredibly serious? And it was something to do with, was it fingers and toes going numb? The world just goes stranger by the second, I swear it does. So who would join me live for that one? Who would be available on a Thursday night? Not sure about Jonathan. He's presenting tonight at 8 o'clock. Jonathan, we are expecting to hear all about this tomorrow, you know. Obviously, it'll be a complete triumph, but we still want to hear all about it. You up for that? Oh, my word. I've just found the dog. No, she wasn't lost. I'm keeping an eye on her, making sure she's resting peacefully, shall we say. I'll just zoom in on this camera so you can see it. And then I'll get that sent up there as well. Hopefully that will work. Go on, away you go. And then I'll get it on the phone. You're hoping to. Excellent. So you use InDesign? Question from Simon. I've used InDesign for many, many years. I'm that old. I can remember it coming out. I think it was 1999. And at the time, I was using something else entirely, which was fabulous. It was called Ventura, Corel Ventura. They'd bought it from somebody else. And I'd got it with the suite, so it came with Corel Draw, and I loved it, but I could see the way it was going. Anything Corel buy, it's going to be dead tomorrow. So InDesign came out, and I thought, best give it a go. I must admit, at first, I did not like it. It felt very basic and rudimentary in the interface. Everything seemed to be hidden behind multiple dialogue boxes, whereas this Ventura that I was using was incredibly fully featured. It took InDesign a good while to catch up, but obviously it did catch up. I still think the interface is absolutely hideous, but I can use it at a push, yes. I did have a lot of stuff in there up until... Well, if it was design work, it was probably in there until Affinity Designer came out. Affinity Designer, I wouldn't recommend using it for multiple pages above sort of two or three. So I was still really waiting and desperate for Affinity Publisher. When that came out, it was like, how much can I transfer across? And it could do a reasonable job, but there were two showstoppers. I'm now getting messages from Mike. And it's auto-correcting. I wish you could see this conversation. Oh, dear me. So when it came out, it couldn't do PDF links, which was a huge showstopper. And it didn't do much in the way of EPUB either. So, but I did transition something straight away. The day it came out, I did transition stuff to it, and I persevered with it through the beta, which was way longer. It turned into an 8-month beta, which was only expected to be about 8 weeks. But yes, I have used InDesign for many, many, many years. I have an original book, the one that I learned it from. I think it was called Instant Something to InDesign, and it was like a basics book, and I worked through that, and I think that was the only book I ever used. And I used it probably for about 20 years. Never did the Quark thing. Had a look at it. Licensing was always confusing. It was a standalone program, whereas InDesign was part of the Creative Cloud suite. So it would have been way more expensive to go down that route. So I never did go down that route. Right, let me zoom in again so I can see what's going on. Right. You've scheduled your dental continuing education, but you try to be there. Okay, brilliant. So Jonathan is doing doing Dragon's Den pitches for ideas which can either improve the product, save money, or improve efficiency. Oh, I'm loving that idea. You hope you win, considering you head up the product team. Oh, what have we got there? Just don't hear me talking much about InDesign. I do still have a Creative Cloud subscription, annoyingly, given it's about £600 a year. Basically, to open these original files and convert files from clients and things, as Jonathan knows. Now, of course, you can open certain InDesign files in Publisher, so it's less critical. What I don't do really is do that many tutorials in it anymore. Reason being, although it's very surprising. Right, so quick behind the scenes with YouTube. Obviously, you're putting videos on YouTube. The majority of my videos are monetized. The after hours at the moment aren't. That's an exception at the moment. Always up for review, but at the moment, they're not monetized. So when you put a video up, it takes me as long to do a 20-minute video about X as it does about Y. But one of those videos will get far more views than the other and thus far more income than the other. And the thing is, at the moment, when I put a video up, with a few exceptions, a video from anything to do with the Affinity Suite will do at least 8 to 10 times better than anything from Adobe, which tells you a lot, doesn't it? Obviously, there are still people looking for Adobe tutorials, but they tend to be fewer than those looking for Affinity. Probably twofold. Those using Adobe are probably doing it at work. They may have had official training from somewhere. And you could say the ones with Affinity are looking for the tutorials because the software is so cost effective to purchase. People are buying it who don't have a clue. They may never have used anything before. I didn't need any training in Affinity Publisher because I'd used InDesign. But other people, this may be their first foray into Publisher or Designer or Photo. And for that reason, you can get 80 to 100,000 views on an Affinity video where you would get less than 8,000 on an Adobe one. One exception to that, which has continued to surprise me over the years, is Bridge, Adobe Bridge. And it's probably because it's free with the photo plan and it's not actually clear to people what they can do with it. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do a full disclosure behind the scenes. Let me go in and have a look what my most popular 10 videos are in the last 30 days. And they are from the top. Affinity Designer for iPad full tutorial. Affinity Publisher full tutorial. Affinity Photo for iPad. Pixelmator Pro. Custom Shapes in Keynote. Working with Colour in Affinity Designer. Pixelmator Photo, Custom Shapes in PowerPoint, Affinity Publisher Beta, and Working with Colour in Affinity Photo. So of the ones at the top, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 60% of my top videos are Affinity. I think I definitely need to do that colour one, don't I? I'm actually quite surprised. The Working with Colour in Photo comes in at number 10. But it does. For many years, the Bridge one came up second. Let me get the full list. Let's have a look. Where's the Bridge one? What number are you at now? Why don't I just do a search and replace? I can't find it. No, I'm not trying to do that, am I? I'm trying to search through that. Where's the Bridge video? It's about 13th, but it's still getting, considering how old it is, quite a lot of viewers. Let's have a look at these. What's that percentage next to it? What's that supposed to be showing me? Don't give me that and then don't tell me. 20% of my channel's views came from my Affinity Designer tutorial. That's scary. That is very scary if that video disappears. Is that daily? Let's have a look over the year. No, it's exactly the same. The top five are exactly the same over the year, which is bizarre. I'll tell you what's not in the top ones. The after hours. But there you go. So a quick behind the scenes of that. Right, let me catch up with this. So Anthony used to use Serif Page Plus, which he loved, but there was no Mac version, so switched to InDesign, cross-platform, and now Publisher's come out. Yeah, this guy that contacted me was using Page Plus as well, on Windows. Well, I assume it's Windows, because there wasn't a Mac version, was there? So he must have been on Windows with it, and he's only just switching to Affinity Publisher. So he's got features that were in Publisher, Page Plus, which aren't in Publisher. So he's clearly a power user of what he's got and he's like looking at it and thinking, oh dear. So hence wanting to know about colour and what was the other feature? The replicant feature, which I think you do another way, but we'll have to see. He's supposed to be doing a video and sending it to me to see what the problem was. I think I only looked at Quark once seriously. I think I got a long trial, like a 3-month thing, and I didn't like it. I was still pining big style for Ventura. Ventura was the best. It really was. Quark, Ventura and CorelDRAW both had what I would call very heavy interfaces, in terms of there's a lot of interface on the screen. So you don't have to go into menus and stuff. You've got like a very neat toolbar across the top and tools down both sides that can do certain things. So you never really had to worry about finding stuff or anything like that. But Madam's after going out. Madam can whistle for that. She's not going out again. Both of them were the same, and you could customise them any way you liked. So when I moved to, was I still on the Mac? I think I'd worked out that they were not going to update them. This was Corel when they bought them. This was the problem with Corel. They would buy stuff. It was really great stuff. They would integrate it into their system. And then before you knew it, they'd nuked it. And they did that repeatedly. So once they'd got it, and you know, I could think, like, it's due an update. And there wasn't one. I thought I'm going to have to start looking. And that was when I started doing that. And then I went Adobe and went that way. But at the time, I remember that everybody who wanted a tutorial in Adobe products. I can only assume, and I'm not casting aspersions on them, but I can only assume there was a lot of dodgy copies flying around. It was very easy to get a dodgy copy, put it like that. And there must have been for the number who wanted tutorials. I've got Lola on camera here in the kitchen doing the Fandango. She can wait. She's been out about 5 times. So where am I? Kim says, been playing with Affinity Designer, downloaded vectors from the internet. Is there an easy way to scroll through the layers without using the slider? If you click on the first layer, you can use the arrow key and it will select the layer as you go through it. The ones that you will download from the internet are probably EPS or SVG. And the problem with them is, and I have this problem even from Envato Elements, which I pay for, they are intended to be used in Illustrator more than likely. When you open some of them in Designer, it can't cope. Because every tiny element is separate. It has a layer of its own. And it adds to the weight of the file size, both in terms of size, and it's just sluggish in Designer. There was one thing I particularly needed, and I downloaded it. It was spot on perfect. I did not want to have to go and find another one. And I opened it in Designer and it couldn't cope. I had artifacts on the screen, the lot. So what I did was I opened it in Illustrator, did what I needed to do with it, copied it, pasted it into Affinity Designer, having merged a lot of these tiny fragments together to make one solid shape, because there was no reason for them to be as fragmented as they were. And then it was fine. But obviously, if you've not got Illustrator, then you can't do that. But just in terms of scrolling down the layers, click on the first one and then use the arrow keys. Do I think I will ever cancel my Creative Cloud subscription or reduce it to just one or two apps? There's a chance I probably will. It would depend. Bridge is still incredibly useful, believe it or not. I was triaging an entire year's worth of photos and I needed them converting and renaming and all that kind of stuff. And I'm looking at Mike and he's looking at me and I said, we needed to go through and make a pick. And I said, well, I could do it in this and I could do it in that. I said, we could do it in Finder. But what we were finding was if you press the space bar to preview an image, it took like 10, 15 seconds to appear. And I said, I can't be doing with this. I said, let's just take the lot into Bridge. And the job was done in Bridge while you were thinking about it. So it's really unusual that Bridge is the only product that Adobe don't sell separately. And yet it's one of the most useful. So I know Affinity, Serif, are working on something like Bridge. They're calling it Digital Asset Management. But we're nowhere even near a beta yet. So I would guess, my best guess on that would be another year at the minimum. But that would hold the thing together nicely. But we'll see how they go with that, because they might also be working on version 2 of the apps they've already got. The other thing that I did use in Creative Cloud that you could say didn't have an equivalent, is the audio editor, which is Adobe Audition. And I edited the podcast in that. It had some very nice features for editing the podcast. It had a triple screen display, so you could have all of the buses and mixers on one window and all of your assets on another, and then the actual editor on your main screen. But for all the good features it did have, it was for making music. So it was a very heavy thing to do with voice work. Then I tried Hindenburg, and it was supposed to be fantastic. And I got it installed and I'm like, this is hideous. But it was hideous because it's got a bit of a learning curve. It's not like any other audio editor. But for voice work, which is what I'm doing, now that doesn't mean you can't put music in it. You can. And I do. Last weekend, it was VE Day on Friday. And I'd said to Mike, we should do a special for Brooklands with some music from the war years. And Mike was like, oh, but it'll take forever and all the rest of it. So I decided in the end, and I wasn't going to do it on Friday because everybody had it on Friday. So by Friday night, I said, look, it won't be a nightmare. Leave it to me. So on the Saturday, when I was sorting out, I was doing about 9 other jobs, basically. But I did some recording of the music part. Then I did my voice part. I got the whole lot on the timeline, and the beauty with Hindenburg is you can slice it and dice it and then throw it into a bin, which you couldn't do with any other app. And I got this entire show out in 15 minutes. So once I got the music keyed up, it was just a case of lining it all up, making sure that every segue worked. And so I said to Mike, I'm going to start that show now. And this was like 4 o'clock. And about 20 past, I said, right, it's done. It's on your desktop. And he couldn't believe it. So even for music work, I would use Hindenburg because there would be segues between the songs where I'm talking about it. So I don't know if you ever heard the Queen special that I did, but basically like that. It starts, I do an intro to the show, then there's a song and then I talk and then there's a song and I talk, etc. So basically like a DJ. But even that can be done in Hindenburg. So I don't actually see myself going back to Audition. But I do have Audition files. So I think what I'd have to do if I was ever going to get rid of it is like do a search on all my hard drives, get all my files together based on file type, and then do a mass conversion if I was ever going to try that. At the moment, there's still like one or two things that the Creative Cloud apps can do that the Serif ones don't. How I justify it, Jonathan, if you really want to know. I will do enough videos for Adobe applications and get them up on YouTube. And then I watch them throughout the year. And I see how they perform. And what I'm looking for is that it covers my subscription. And that's the way I justify it to Mike when the bill comes in. Right. So Jonathan says he must have sent 5 or 6 people to Affinity and they've bought one, if not all. Got the full set. From the husband for their birthday. Oh, that's fantastic. My birthday next week. I wonder what I should ask Mike for. Publisher reminds me of PageMaker, same concepts. Yep, I used to use PageMaker back in the day before I actually used InDesign. And there was another one as well, FrameMaker. And FrameMaker was for longer documents. So what I did with that was manuals. Now that actually still exists, but it's not part of the Adobe Creative Cloud subscription. So, of course, that costs way more. So, I'm leaving all of those alone. So Tracy found me after my Affinity Publisher tutorial, the beta one. I managed to get that thrown together in literally probably about 2 days, 3 days. And I always try and put them on a Thursday because it's a reasonable day for us. But that one was something that I didn't really expect it to be as long as it was. But we just kept chatting and people kept asking questions, so it did. So I'm glad you found me with it. You're a real newbie to it all. I'm sure you're doing brilliantly, brilliantly well, and I'm always here for questions, you know that. Homesick for weeks and listened to almost all the Affinity videos. Oh, you know, you're sick to start with without doing all of that. Having said that, that's what this guy said to me. You know, I've been marooned at home and I've been binge watching your Affinity videos. so you use FrameMaker too. FrameMaker is very powerful. But it was very much for long works. I never quite understood why they didn't like merge it all together and make like the ultimate. Oh, research on pets and COVID. Oh, God, I'm still trying to keep everybody away from Lola. She's like a magnet. She's in the kitchen now, sulking. She wants to be in the garden, that's the problem. But we can't let her in the garden if I'm up here and Mike's down there. So can we infect our cats and dogs? Oh no. I'll have a full read of that later. I'm hoping the answer's no. I'm seriously hoping it's no. Oh, that's beautiful, Tracy. I didn't just find you, Elaine. I found the whole MacBites family. Indeed. That we are a happy, friendly bunch, I like to think. I certainly do. Somebody put that. I think it was somebody put it in iTunes as a review. And we took a copy of it and put it on the website. I think it was Graham. It was either Graham or Jonathan or both of you. I think that was it. Page maker, page plus three. the Affinity videos. What, little did you know, Paul. Little did you know the insanity that happens. That's why I have to have two email things. I've got my email, where my VIP list, where I would just tend to... I mean, I do tell them about after hours. So anybody who's subscribed to the VIP list, you do get a reminder that after hours is on Friday night. But you'll notice there's no poster. Whereas on the MacBites one, there is a poster. So I always try and put in the VIP mail what we're actually covering. But the only way that you get subscribed to that, other than me telling you in after hours, is it's mainly advertised at the end of my YouTube videos. So pretty much you'd have to get to the end of a YouTube video to see it. So I would have thought if you'd done that, you would have seen the video. And if you've seen the video, it's not me talking head, is it? It's my screen. And I would have thought you would have noticed it's a Mac. So the other day, I get an unsubscribe from my mailing list. And you can choose when you unsubscribe to either just unsubscribe or unsubscribe and send me a note to say why you're unsubscribing. And I mean, I get some absolute classics of like, I didn't sign up for this. Well, it's a double opt-in. So I certainly didn't sign you up. A double opt-in means you fill the form in and then my automation system gets it and it sends back a mail that says click here to confirm. That's a legal requirement with GDPR. So to say I didn't sign up for this, like, OK, keep taking the medication. But this one said, and I quote, Mac, I was helpless. When I shared it with Mike, he was like, what? I said, I know. He clearly hadn't understood I was using a Mac. Bless him. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. So everybody seems to use Page Plus. Do you know, I've got a very good memory of the one from Serif. They ran a competition. This was 1994. And I think it was just you'd bought something. And if you bought something, they automatically entered you for this competition to win a prize. And they rang me and told me I'd won a prize. And I said, well, can you hang on to it for a couple of days? Because I'm actually away on holiday. We'd gone up to the Fylde coast. And we were literally going to be away for about 5-6 nights. Anyway, they did. Good luck, Jonathan. Good luck. May the force be with you. Go rock their socks off, Jonathan. So when I got back next day, toys arrived. So I was thrilled. So I do have good memories of them. We like the Affinity guys. We do. How do you know which mailing list you're on? Oh, do you get one mail or two mails when we go live, Kim? On a Friday in after hours. We send out, I think they go at the same time on a Friday night. The MacBites mail says MacBites at the top. And my VIP list, excuse me, says Elaine Giles at the top. So that's how you would know. One has an orange stripe at the top and the other has like a very dark grey stripe at the top. Paul gets two. Paul's on both lists. Paul misses nothing. Good man, Paul. Kim only gets one. Well, if it's the orange one, it's MacBites. And if it's the grey one, it's VIP. But feel free to sign up to all of them or none of them or whatever, whatever makes sense. I totally agree with the affinity apps. It really doesn't matter. There is, I won't say, ooh, not on VIP. Well, there you go, Kim. The opportunity's there, if you like. There are a couple of what look like fairly minor differences beyond command and control. But to be honest, you're unlikely to stumble across those. So I totally agree with you. I have considered, although I've never actually done it, would it be better if when I did a demo, I went full screen with the app? Because that way it would be even more difficult to know the difference between Windows and Mac. If I take it full screen, as in the application's as big as it'll go, but you can see the Mac interface, maybe that was what puts people off. The reason I haven't done that, it drives me mad. I don't like it. I don't like full screen view. The bit I don't like is I move my mouse up to the top, doing something else, and then the menus fly out. So I actually don't like working in that view, but maybe it would make people feel a little more at home. I always remember when I went to Adobe sessions live, Adobe used to come around about every 6 months and they'd hire out a cinema for the day. So they'd have sort of 500 seats. And they always used to demonstrate on a Mac. And I didn't mind that at all, except in one circumstance. And they always said command or control. But you know the Mac taskbar-y thing? What you call the dock? I don't know because I never see it. I hid it away, don't never look at it. But the dock, they always had it set years ago for some kind of magnification thing. So as you hovered your mouse pointer over the dock, these icons came up huge. And as you moved along, the next one came up huge in a kind of wave. That really bothered my eyes. I hated that. So I would always have to look away or cover my eyes after that. But in terms of the actual application and the demonstration, that never bothered me. Never bothered me at all. So I don't understand people like that. But hey, never mind. You can't keep up unless you listen or watch live. Hey, how do you think we keep up? So if I unsubscribe from one, which one should it be not to miss anything? Tracy, that's tricky. MacBytes podcasts and early notifications of After Hours only go out on the MacBytes list. My list would be where you would be hearing about extra sessions, like the colour in Publisher one first. I'm very mindful about sending stuff out twice that's identical to two different lists that has quite a crossover. So I tend to either word it differently or there is naturally a different focus on it. Not everybody who subscribes to MacBytes and who is interested in the podcast wants to learn any applications. So we tend not to put as many tips and tricks in that one. It's just, at the moment, you get one a day, which is we're going live with Marooned. You get one when there's a podcast. Jonathan's gone, hasn't he? Might be a good time to mention 126 while his back's turned. So you get one with a podcast. If we go live, we did used to have another mailing list, which we don't use as much now, where we would put the learning stuff on, just to keep it separate from the other MacBytes stuff. Kim doesn't want to be left out, and Tracy needs to know which one to ditch. Oh, this is tricky. This is tricky. I guess at the moment you could probably unsubscribe from mine. But be warned, if I then put something out like a live session and it doesn't go on the MacBytes one, then you won't see it. It's just the way it is because people get so sniffy. People get so sniffy. We always try and keep it separate. But, you know, there is a crossover and we can't help that. There is a crossover. We think we've kind of, I'm going to say de-loused, but I think I mean debugged. I think people who are narked in any kind of way have already gone. They might subscribe because they've seen one video and they want me to do far more about whatever video it was. And then I'm doing other stuff and then they get narky. And it's, you know, that's what people are like. We've had the comments you get on YouTube, you know, I mean, there are some beautiful comments. People are so kind. And then you get some real snotty comments. And I remember Mike put some stuff up on YouTube about 18 months before I did. So this is about 2011. And he got this snotty comment and I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, how rude is that? And, you know, it keeps coming back to your head like, I wouldn't dare say anybody said that. That's just so rude. You know, and after I started putting videos up and I got some really lovely comments and then I started getting some snotty comments. And, you know, it does. It plays through your mind. And now I'm like, I'll just say to Mike, got a snottogram. He says, go on, I'll read it to him and we'll laugh about it. And it's delete. Some people actually put up the snotty comments. I don't bother. Must admit, I don't bother. Half the time, they've not even known. What, Mike got one the other day. What did it say? Oh, it was on his video. Mike's done a video on an action tracker in Excel. So he's basically showing you what Excel is capable of. And this action tracker is one of his most popular videos. He must get easy 10 mails a week asking for a copy of the file. So he redid the file, kept it up to date, added more features to it, and he will provide this file. So he gets lots of lovely emails and comments about, could I have the file? Then the other day he gets this comment and the person said something like, and this video is not that long, I think it's about 10 minutes. But the comment was something like, absolutely useless. I'll never get that 10 minutes back again. And we just laughed like hyenas. We do try and keep it. What's he doing here? Am I still watching you? Honestly, Mike. We do try and laugh over it, but that's why we try and keep the stuff on the mailing list separate. Because people get very uppity. Very, very uppity. Right, let me keep going. So Paul doesn't use full screen either. You maximise the windows. I do. I use Moom for that. So I have Control and F, and I really do mean Control and F, which will take any application full screen, but not full screen, full screen. As big as it can fit onto the window without me, with onto the thing, but without full screen. Now he's playing solitaire with one of the people in his meeting. Honestly. Welcome to the inner circle. Anthony, I once had one on YouTube criticise me for having an English accent. People are weird. People are so weird. I got one once. Now, what kind of video would it have been? Because I mentally, I have two video types in my head. There's one that I've done as a YouTube video, so it tends to be short, and there's a lot of live ones. And basically this thing said, I can't abide listening to your voice, it's hideous. So I said to Mike, another fan. But luckily, you know, I mean, if that had been the first comment you ever got, it could probably have put you off YouTube for life. But then you look at the next, you're going through your comments. Oh, fantastic. I love an English accent. It's brilliant. I tune in just to listen to your voice. And you're like, you don't, in the end, you don't know what to think. So I just write it off as they're clearly having a very bad day. A very bad day. Oh, Moom for Paul as well. I have got about five apps that do exactly that. And I just settled on Moom. It could have been because they do other apps. It's Manytricks software. And I was having a conversation with them. One of the ones that I was using was Resolutionator, which is a really weird one. But it allows you to change the resolution of your screen using something like Alfred. You could just go into it and you can do it through Alfred. But what I wanted to do, I had two external monitors, which were smaller. They're like 23, 24 inches than my main iMac. And there was no way they were taking the same resolution. I'd have had to have paid over £1,000 each. But when he released this app, I sort of went back and said, you know, these silly resolutions, how do I get to them? Because I want to try this and this. And he was saying like, it's going to look really tiny. And I said, just let me try it. Let me try it. And he did. He told me how to get to these things. And they work brilliant. So now they're all the same resolution, even though they don't technically support that resolution, and they look absolutely fine. So he was thrilled that I'd actually like got a proof of concept that it was working. And because of that, it's like, well, I'll just deploy this and I'll deploy that. So there's Desktop Curtain, Moom, and Resolutionator. They did do another one. Do they do Witch? Is it them that do Witch? Either way, all their software is amazing, so I stuck with it. They had a one called Butler as well, which was like, basically it was Alfred. But obviously they can't put as much development into it when they've got more than one product. So I must admit, I do stick with Alfred with that one. You love my voice, it's happy. Oh, good. I'm glad about that, Kim. I always say with audio and video that it drains you. So you need to be like 150 to 200% enthusiastic just to sound normal. And I'd heard that and I thought, well, I'm just as I am. Okay. And then I went on this call with this girl and I'd known her for ages, but never actually spoken to her. So it'd all been done through like Adobe Connect. She was a trainer. I was a trainer. And she'd got picked to do this. We were a user group managers at the time. And so it's a user group thing. And she said, oh, I'll do a session on fireworks. Who remembers Adobe Fireworks, Macromedia Fireworks? Loved it. So I thought, oh, I'm going to go to that session. And she got going and she'd always been really, like I say, I'd never heard her speak, but all of her text chat and stuff was really upbeat. She got going with this session and I was shocked. She constantly tutted. She tutted her way through the session. So it was like, and then there's this other tool, but it's all right, but, and she was tut. And then the other thing that she did, once I'd got over that, she would say things like, now I know her audience was a user group, but it was as though she was exasperated with Adobe for the things that don't work. So she would say things like, oh, and then there's this tool, but it doesn't work like this, and it didn't, but it was the sighing in between it. So I managed to get through this session and Mike came back in and he said, you all right? And I said, actually, I think I need to lie down. He said, why? What's the matter? And I said, yeah, I've just done that session. He said, but you were looking forward to that session. And I said, I know I was. So I said, but, you know, here's the video replay. So I played like 5 minutes back and he went, why does she keep sighing? It's really draining. And I said, not just me then. Even if something doesn't work, I had a session once where I was training Flash. It was crash-tastic, literally like 20 times. And every time it crashed, I'd say, you know, after about five goes, not at the same point, you would get like 5 or 6 minutes between it, then it would crash again. Then you get another 2 minutes and then it would crash again. So after about the fifth one, I said, right, okay, let's have a drinking game. Next time it crashes, drink. People loved it. They were in the chat. It crashed and then I just got drink in the chat. You've got to go with it. Otherwise, why would people stay with you? Why would they listen to you if you make them feel terrible or nodding off? One thing we don't have at MacBytes, it's nodding off. Apart from Jonathan, obviously. But then he's publicly shamed. Because what is it at the minute? Is it 4-2? It's 4-2, isn't it? Because we were going for 3-3 last week and then it got to 4-2. Mike's voice is gentle. He actually had train the trainer training, which you don't say after a drink. I think he had about four lots of train the trainer training, because actually he was working in, I think he was working at Bupa, and he was on his way to work one day on the train. Should let him tell this story. But he was on the way to work one day and he met a girl that he'd been at work with, been at school with. So by this stage, I think he was 22 years old. And it was like clerical work. I don't really know what I always thought it'd be good with people. And he did do one of these tests and it came back, you should work with people because you're great with people. But he was doing this clerical job. So he met this girl from work and asked what she was doing. And she asked what he was doing. And she said, I think you'd be great. You know, in my game, she was the training manager. She said, I think you'd make a great trainer. And he was like, really? I've never done anything like that. But at the time, there were so few trainers. They actually trained you up. And they trained you up in two ways. They trained you up on the technology side of you know, the subject matter that you needed to be an expert in, but they also sent you for train the trainer training. So she contacted him after this, and he went in, had a chat with her, and they took him on. So that was about 2 and a bit years before I met him. But during that time, he'd been on half a dozen train the trainer courses, and it's all about what you do with your, that obviously at the time it was face-to-face training. So what you do with your hands and don't make people feel awkward and all the rest of it, and training, and your voice was part of it. I never had any training like that. I got trained in mooting. I'm wondering if you know what mooting is. In the UK, when you're doing a law degree, where I was doing a law degree, you have to actually, as part of it, I guess the nearest would be like a viva in medical education. They basically throw a case at you. They don't tell you whether you're for the prosecution or the defence or the plaintiff or the respondent until you sit down. But you get like an hour to go through the paperwork. And it makes you think about the case from both angles because you don't know if you're defending or prosecuting. And then you have like a mini trial, and that's called a moot. So I'd done a bit of that. But other than that, no, I wasn't one for standing up and talking. But I always said to Mike, he had, and I called it his Mr. Thomas the Trainer voice. Ask him about his Mr. Thomas the Trainer voice. You go into a different mode because it's like right now I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing. That's why I think I found video more difficult than I found live. But now I basically do video all the time. So just got to get used to it, haven't you? So Anthony's never understood people who dislike videos. I think in all the time I've watched YouTube, I've only ever disliked two. I have never put a dislike on a video and I never will. Even if I think it's absolutely appalling. And sometimes I've seen videos and they are absolutely appalling. The reason that I will never do that is someone has taken the time and effort to put something up there. It may be the worst video you have ever seen, but they have made themselves vulnerable by putting that up there. And I think, you know, that should be encouraged. It could be the first video they've ever done. And if all they got was negative, I mean, you know, I wrote about that, don't you? I did a post on that on my blog. And I think I said exactly the same. I might not have actually said that I won't put a dislike on a video. Let me go find it. It wasn't that long ago. Yes, there it is. Show your work. We need to encourage collaborative learning, not kill it. So I'll put the link in, but that's basically what I was saying. And the short version of the story was I was looking up something and there was a video on it. And I watched it and the audio was very quiet. It didn't detract from the accuracy of it, but it was just very quiet audio. So I thought, right, well, what I'm going to need to do is like either up the sound on my computer to deafening to be able to hear it, or download it and tinker with the volume and then play at normal volume. But either way, it didn't affect the content of this video. And the comments were appalling, absolutely appalling. And it was all to do with, I don't want to waste my time listening to this video. If I can't hear it, it's useless. Why did you bother putting it up? I mean, that's what some of the comments say. If you please fix the audio, otherwise I'm not coming back. I have hearing problems already. I'm laughing like a drain at some of these content. Then somebody says, wonderful video, but the audio's too quiet. Can you fix it, please? Somebody else says, just bad. Why would you upload a video if the audio is not there? Then there's no learning from it. And, you know, people were saying like, I won't invest my time. And I'm thinking, but the person who's made the video has invested their time and you could learn from it if you chose to. You're just not choosing to. So like Kim says, I just move on. Either it's that bad, I won't listen to it. But it wouldn't be, when I say that bad, it would be the content that would be bad. If the content I'm learning from it, then I'll muddle through. I'll find a way to make it work. Not a problem. I'm always minded of that video that Apple put up a few years ago. They had a video and it was of an Indian school. It was basically like a mud shack. It was shocking. They had no whiteboard or anything, but what they did have, they'd been sent a projector. And it was their pride and joy, this projector. But they didn't have a screen. So they had a sheet hung up, a white sheet. But this sheet was shocking. It was full of holes and stuff. But it was the best they could do. It was a single room school thing. And the toilet was a bucket in the corner. And they were learning. So the fact that this video, I needed to turn up the volume to hear it, was like, yeah, and you know, what's the problem? If you want to learn, you'll learn. But the upshot of that was that obviously the guy, whoever had put it up, took it down. They took it down. They deleted the video. And I thought that was just so sad. And as I put there, we're all the poorer for it if you don't want to share your work. But yeah, some of the comments you get are absolute caucus. I'll share some. The next time I go in and find some shocking ones, I'll share them. One of the ones we got on MacBytes, one of our very first comments on MacBytes, and we got some really good ones, and I think the people closed down their Apple accounts and they disappeared. But this shocking one is still there in iTunes. It was one of the very first comments we got, and it said we were boring. We laugh about that. It's like, we are boring. Okay. I mean, at the beginning, we might not have been brilliant, but boring? I don't think so. But we call it the library-themed pub comment. And it's there affecting our stats to this day. 13 years later, we do not have 5 stars and because of this thing. And I just think must have been a really bad day for the poor guy. The only time I've done that is when they've been misleading. Yes, I agree with that, Anthony, but I must admit I still stick to my principle and just move on. But yes, some of them I watch and I think that's not what you said the video was about. Another kind that I won't say they annoy me, but I feel a little bit disappointed and I want to say to the person who's made them, do you know you can do this? I'll go find a video and it'll be about a technique. So it could be something like, say I've got a device, a particular keyboard, an XYZ123 model, and I'm trying to change the battery and I can't get it out. Then I'll go and I'll find a video and it says, you know, how to change it. Right, great. And I'll sit there with it and I'll watch and think, oh, right, I need a screwdriver from the other end, you know. But these videos, they're spot on accurate and there's no voiceover at all. Now, you can learn what you need to learn by watching it. But the fact there's no voiceover at all really disorientates me because I'm so used to. Some people do Affinity Photo and Photoshop videos where they'll explain what they're going to do. So they'll say, I'm going to make a selection of the model and all of the hair. And then they go quiet. And then they come, you know, there's nothing said while they're making the selection. Sometimes they even speed that bit up. And then at the end, they then come back and start talking again. And I just think, you know what? Just talk through it. Just talk through it. Just chat. But obviously some people, now it may be they don't speak English very well. And some videos I've seen have actually had Siri speaking them, and that obviously at MacBytes headquarters is an absolute scream. There was one, Mike watched an Excel video on a new something or other, and it was clearly somebody foreign, and they'd written it out and they'd got Lady Siri to read it. Well, we're in fits. It's like, it's Lady Siri. But the ones that are totally silent, I find those very difficult, and I think it doesn't matter how bad your English is. It doesn't matter how bad you feel your voice is. If somebody gets something from that video, but then I think I'm at a point in life, we've got a girl at church, she's 16, yeah, she just had her 16th birthday. She is absolutely beautiful. She's model material. She doesn't believe it. And because she doesn't believe it, she has no confidence. And she's nervous and she's twitchy and she's biting her nails. And I'm at a time of life where I'm like, oh, never mind what anybody thinks, just go for it. The last thing she was worried about was her teeth. Her teeth are fine, but she was worried about her teeth. Was it a bridge she needed or something? I think it could have been a gap or something. But you know what? Looking at them, they were perfectly functional. Mine weren't even functional. Eating was painful. I had never shown anybody. Craig sent me some pictures, my dentist, my before and afters, and I had never shown anybody but Mike. but she was in such a flap over this dental thing. Somebody had said something to her. And I said, look, come over here. And I got these out. I said, I have never shown anybody these apart from Mike. So, and I think I said something like, are my teeth okay? And she said, your teeth are fabulous. And she didn't know. So I said, right, well, that's what my teeth looked like when I was at school. And there's these teeth. They are mahogany. They are brown. And she was like, oh, my God. She said, did you get bullied? I said, right, left and centre. Just ignore it. People don't have the confidence, and it's unfortunate because then I'm watching a video and I'm thinking, I don't care how bad your accent is. Please put some sound on it. Right, so one of Simon's favourite YouTubers produced a video reading back all of the snotty comments. Oh, I must do that. I must dig them out, Simon. I must dig them out. Oh, I have got to a point where initially they got through. They got through your armour and it bothered me. And then I must have got to a point, I must have had that many. And the good ones are so good, and yet you never quite remember them. But the bad ones stick in your mind, so I must do that. I had one woman, oh, this one was funny. I had one woman who went through an entire 50-minute video. And no, in fact, I think it's probably longer than that. It's probably one of my hour and a half videos. She went through the entire thing, picking up where I should have said something else. And what she meant was, I would say something like, you click the button on the left. And she would say, you needed to say what the button was on the left that you needed to click. This thing was like 5 pages long. And I just looked at Mike and went, yeah, no. You know, I'd take the time to do it. Why did you watch it all the way through and correct everything all the way through? Unbelievable. You always have the choice not to watch. You do. You do. So Anthony says she doesn't like, Anthony doesn't like it when there's no voiceover. In saying that, I watched an Indian guy speak in his own language and was able to follow what he was doing. Exactly. If they speak it, if they do provide some kind of voiceover, even if they can't speak English, and I do appreciate English must be the number one language on YouTube. Having said that, I think Spanish is the number one language in the world, isn't it? But it always seems to be English that is on there. But if you provide a voiceover, even if it's in Swahili, YouTube will produce automated captions. Now, I know somebody, more than one actually, I've had about 3 or 4 from France and another one from Germany, who says that they're learning English by watching my videos as well, because they put the subtitles on in French and they follow along. So their eyes are seeing it, but their ears are hearing English. And I think that must be incredibly difficult when you're trying to follow a technical subject. To try and follow a technical subject in a different language, I think is amazing. There's no way I could do it. I am not a language person. That is not me. I'm always very mindful of that. So I think somebody said one night, we had a chat before we got started on an Affinity one. So what I used to do with the Affinity ones was log in like 10 minutes before and we'd have a chat, because I was going straight. After hours, you can have a chat at any point. But with this, I was going for like a video that somebody could watch without having to have any chat. So there was some chat at the beginning. And I would then choose to either leave that there and tell people what time the content started, or I'd edit it. But there's a danger if you edit it, it goes mad. In terms of it loses the first bit of the video. That has happened on one occasion. Luckily, I had a local copy. And the other thing that it can do is it stops the replay of the chat. And there's value in the chat because you're putting links in it and people are asking questions. So there was this 10 minutes at the beginning and somebody said to me, you know, when I started, your voice changed. And I thought, yes, it probably will, because that's what I do when I'm training. I'm very mindful that people are watching in different languages, and therefore you don't want to be saying things like wanna when you mean want to, because that's a totally different sound for them. And you do speak like that. So I'm just incredibly mindful of it. You've been kicked out now. They booted you out.
Yeah, it's finished.
That was fast.
Yeah.
We're still going.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Pull your microphone down. We're talking about snotograms on YouTube. And I mentioned the library theme pub comment. You'll all have to go to YouTube.
You mean iTunes?
In iTunes. Yeah, we've not had a review in iTunes for 5 years. Do you know that? For the podcast. But there again, we haven't had a bad one. So I'm quite happy at that.
When we release the next one.
I mentioned Jonathan's gone. He's got to do his Dragon's Den pitch. So I said, oh, Jonathan's gone. 1, 2, 6. Left it at that.
His Dragon's Den pitch.
This pitch
this
is like...
his video?
Yes, ah. Yes. So he went to do it at 8 o'clock.
Ah.
Right. Let me have a look. Couple of the videos I've watched, it's definitely computer generated, but not Siri. And it was disconcerting. I didn't comment on it, though. I think somebody is either English is not their first language and they've got to use some kind of synthesized voice, or they're incredibly nervous. And I can appreciate that. Putting yourself out there with content is it's a very vulnerable position to be in. And that's why I just move on if it's bad.
I remember watching one about Power Pivot or something.
Is this the one I've... Oh, go on.
And it was Lady Siri.
I've just said that. You sat through a video and we were just like, I can't concentrate because it's Lady Siri. I have heard ones with other voices that aren't Siri, and they really are very synthesised. But you listen to synthesised voices now and some of them are absolutely amazing. So it needn't be a barrier. I mean, obviously in our case, it's like, it's Lady Siri. But once you've got over that, you can go back and you can watch it and you can learn from it. And I think even if you would rather hear somebody's own voice, maybe when you've heard their own voice and English isn't their first language, you think, do you know what? Leave it at the synthesized one. It's fine. But people need just a little bit of confidence to do that. And then even if their accent isn't the best or their pronunciation isn't the best, they get the confidence and they can do it. So Paul says, my grandfather once corrected a thank you note from me when I was a young child and I've never forgotten it. I'm not much for thank you notes. Oh, that's bad.
My voice is gentle.
You've got a gentle voice, Mike.
Hmm.
Yes. I was telling them about your Mr. Thomas the Trainer voice.
Thomas the Trainer.
You do when you're face to face. Absolutely, you do. Oh, Paul, that's such a classic. I don't know what I'd think of that. I think I'd be rather miffed. I think I would be rather miffed. Especially if it's a child crying out loud. If they only listen to Elaine, they'll be able to understand people from North Watford. We have got some very distinct accents here, haven't we? I'm thinking... West Country's quite distinctive, apart from Wales and Scotland, obviously. Birmingham's incredibly distinctive. I would say Bolton and Bury is. And Yorkshire. Yeah. Probably the North East. But there's a whole swathe of the country where I think it's fairly standard. Having said that, I've had somebody on the podcast years ago say, it's great to hear somebody from the North West. And then... some Americans who were thinking it was like not exactly a London accent, but you sound like Princess Diana was one many years ago. But I'm thinking when I went to university, I went down to London and I didn't particularly change my accent at all. I know some people do greatly. I didn't. But there was a girl there that was a friend, became a friend of mine, and she was from Birmingham. So we got talking. She had a broad Birmingham accent. Which, if you've never heard it, is, would you say Birmingham?
Birmingham?
No, I'm thinking of like an actor or somebody that sounds like, not Sean Bean. Lenny Henry.
No. The guy from Alfieda's Own Pet. Well known.
No, he's not.
Timothy Spall.
Oh, Timothy Spall, is he?
He's from Birmingham.
I don't know. I've never known. Another programme I never watched, Mike.
Why from but Birmingham?
It's a very distinct accent, anyway.
Sounds like that.
Yeah, Hartley the Hare. It's a very distinctive accent,
Top
anyway. Put it like this. We went down there and we went through a place called Dudley. And we got...
Hopefully nobody from Birmingham's on here.
It can be a difficult accent to understand. I mean, this guy, we stopped and we asked directions and he replied... And I thought he was Polish. I'm not joking. I thought he was Polish. I really had to stop and listen to every word and then got it. But that's just the accent you know, if you live there, you would instantly understand it. It's like a Scottish accent. It can be impenetrable depending on how fast they speak. But I love Scottish accents. So this lady with the Birmingham accent, we got talking and she eventually she said, so where are you from round here? So I said, oh, round here. You know, I stay in Finchley. So she said, oh, do you come from Finchley? So I said, no. I said, I live in Manchester. And she said, well, why have you gone from Finchley to Manchester? And I said, no, I was born in Manchester. I live in Manchester. And she went, no way. So I said, what do you mean? So she said, you've not got a Manchester accent. Now, there's a Manchester accent, which I don't think I do have. You want to do the Terry Christian Manchester accent? Manchester. So if you think of Nolan Liam Gallagher, not me, thankfully.
I'm from Manchester.
She couldn't believe it. So she said, I'm going to lose my accent. And it took her 4 years of university, but in the end she did, which is a shame. You're losing your heritage. But she did. She hated it. Oh, well, right.
I was going to say something. Did you see my last text?
I did, but I'd lost the will to live by the end of it all.
Somebody, I'll tell everybody. Somebody must have clicked screen share screen accidentally. See, that's another thing.
That's another thing.
He should have disabled that.
He should.
Somebody clicked share screen accidentally in this Zoom meeting, and he was playing solitaire.
Classic. Could have been worse. Could have been watching porn.
Could.
Been done before. Right. So Paul says, I'm amazed at how good some non-English speakers present in English. So am I. I think because that's the one that languages are the thing I struggle with. I'm always amazed. I really am amazed. So Anthony saw once watching a guy doing a blog about his heart condition. Wasn't a professional speaker. Just kept talking and was saying quite a lot. Someone kept picking every time he said I've noticed actually, Anthony, with the briefings from the government every day, they had a guy on. I can't remember which one he was, and he was making me nervous. And I always say, just don't make the audience nervous. And he was making me nervous. He was stopping. He was umming. And I thought, why have you dragged this poor guy out? He does not look comfortable at all. And another one is that Jenny Harries. She says every other word. Now, we all say particularly when you've lost your train of thought and you're trying to fill in a silence. But she is saying it as if it's a word, as if it's like the or a. So she's going at quite a rate through this thing. She's not leaving gaps where I think it may need filling. She's not. So why she keeps going and then and I'm like, whoa, slow down. Whether she's feeling the pressure from the government or something, I don't know. But I've noticed that with her. But I wouldn't pick somebody up on it. I might with Mike. Because I've said, you remember I was saying that I'd attended one of these sessions and this girl sighed all the time and it was exhausting. Yeah. It was. It's like when somebody yawns and you yawn. When she was sighing, going, and then there's this next feature and you're like, I feel tired now. I want to lie down.
Maybe she's out of breath.
No, I think she was just
bored.
No, because she was doing the presenting. I think she was exasperated with the software, so something wasn't working. If something isn't working, I get busy about finding a dirty hack to work around it. As you well know, Kim loves my hacks.
You also get exasperated.
I get very exasperated, yes. But it does energise me to find a way around it because there's got to be a way around it. But I wouldn't start with, because it just totally put everybody off. Unbelievable chemistry professor. Well, this one is I think she's a doctor, not a statistician. I think her problem is, though, she said something early doors in one of these press conferences and got crucified in the press for it. She actually made mention of that today, like, I'm going to have to be careful what I say. And I thought, the press will misinterpret anything you say, love, so just go for it.
Can you say early doors? Does everyone understand that?
Early doors. Early doors means...
That was a Ron Atkinsonism.
Early in the presentation. There you go. Earlier on in the presentation, Mike. Now, Deb, that I must admit, that does bother me. I hate it when a female's giggle every other word. Not a laugh, but a nervous giggle. While I was researching the iPad stand thing, the magic keyboard, obviously, I've not ordered one. I've worked on the principle the stand I've got in front of me that was £15 is absolutely fine and I do not need another one. So I thought, but I've got to research it. So I watched this video and this was somebody who had lots of followers. I mean, we're talking, you know, over 100,000. And very pretty lady. So maybe, you know, I know from my stats that when you're working in the geek space, my followers, my subscribers are 92% male. Now, obviously, she's doing pieces to camera. Very pretty. Not a problem with that. Then she started speaking. And she was doing that nervous giggle thing with such a high-pitched voice. And I'm watching thinking, really? She just totally went down in my estimations as somebody who was a techie chick. She then suddenly became a face and a body, but not actually technical in any way, shape or form. So the nervous giggle thing, no. No, no, no. So Paul says, I've got a couple of co-workers from India and I have to listen to every word to understand. I've done that with particularly Adobe. Adobe do lots of recruitment in India and a lot of their product managers are Indian. And it can be, I find those sessions exhausting because I, like you, have to concentrate so hard to make sure that I get the words because they pronounce them differently. And it can be difficult to follow. Do you know where I really hate that? When I've got to ring up somewhere over something and I get a call centre and I can't understand what they're saying. And you feel so bad saying, I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Well, but look at when we ordered, what's it?
What? Oh, the Virgin update. Yeah. That was a nightmare. I mean, for a start, She was particularly up with it. I think it was a fairly new product they were selling. So she didn't really know what she was talking about. She had this Indian accent. And the line's always bad as well, isn't it? Yeah. You never get a perfect line. And how many times did we say, can you just repeat that? And you do, you feel terrible.
Yeah,
but there's nothing else you can do. So Kim loves my hacks. I love my hacks as well. I do get very exasperated, as Mike said. If something's not working, I will have a complete hissy fit. But then only because I think it should be working, you know, like, don't break on me now. But once something's gone, I do then get forensic, trying to work out what the problem is, what's causing the problem. Go back to the beginning with don't look at what's not working. Look at what you were trying to achieve and then go a different way to find it. And that is really, really useful, I think, as a technique. But yeah.
I'm going to pick up on Paul's point.
I thought you might. This one's a classic.
I do, as you know, I do a lot of training in the evenings, our time. I've been doing one tonight. And most of the companies that I work for, they are training companies, mainly compliance companies. So they offer a lot of compliance training, but they also do, you know, IT training, primarily Excel. And they outsource their admin and all that kind of stuff to India. Because, you know, you log in 10 minutes before the webinar starts and you get chatting to the what they call the host, the person who's hosting you. And, you know, where are you? Oh, Manchester, England. Where are you? New Delhi. But like you say, Paul, most of them have got westernized names. You know, the guy I was talking to tonight, he was plainly Indian. And his name was something like David. But the best one was somebody contacted me out of the blue a couple of years ago and said, would you do some webinars for us? We know all about you. We know all about how good you are as an Excel trainer, etc., etc. Basically schmoozing me. And I didn't recognise this name. And I thought, well, I've worked for a few companies, but I've never heard of you. So I wondered who she was. So I wrote back and she said to me, oh, yes, I know you from such and such a company. My name there was Donna Parker. So what they do is when they change companies, they also change their names and they have a totally different persona and they have their own LinkedIn account. So you can go and check them on LinkedIn.
I mean, it's a classic.
It's a classic.
Do you know anybody who's actually genuine? Like you go to LinkedIn and they've got like a history and you think, oh, it's a real person.
Yeah.
No, I get that all the time. Oh, my. Well, we better get off. Look at the time. Longest marooned ever. Shall we do another AMA tomorrow? Or have you got something you would particularly like to talk about? Bring your questions with you. Madam Didyip, I have passed along to all our lovely MacBites family her little mischiefs today, but I'm watching her on the camera. So she's just stood there doing that. They're not with me. Oh, look, they're on two live sessions. I think I'll bark. At which point, I, of course, have this two-way camera. So I can see her, she can't see me, but she can hear me if I hold down the speak button. So I held down the speak button and said, if you think you're going out again, you're wrong. And her eyes are all over, like I've been caught out. But what I did do for her was, I did put Alexa on playing some lovely music. And she's now in the kitchen next to the cooker, next to the fridge.
I could
just about see it. I need a new camera putting in there so I can keep a closer eye on her. Little madam. Little madam.
If you put a camera in the kitchen, then you'd be keeping an eye on me sneaking to the fridge.
Yes, that as well.
Yes. Chocolate gate.
You are a bad boy, Mike.
Wine gate.
So why not an AMA? Excellent. Oh, you bring your questions and I'll bring the answers. We talked about, what's it today? Lots of software from years ago. Oh, you would have loved it.
Lotus 1-2-3?
No. FrameMaker, PageMaker.
PageMaker, I remember.
Yes, PageMaker. And we talked about you getting your job and how you got it. Oh, it was fabulous.
Which one?
The first one with Mel on the train.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you wouldn't be doing that these days.
Not on the train, no. You wouldn't be talking to anybody either. No. Nor would she recognise you because you'd have a face mask on.
And hair. Yes.
Oh, you've got lots of hair. We might do something about Mike's hair, and if we do, it might involve a video. There you go. Well, you all have a fantastic day. It's 20 to 9 at night here, so not much of our day left. But I'm sure in the States you will have an excellent day. So we will see you tomorrow. Until then, it is good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we will both see you next time.